Hi there, and welcome to Vineyard Church Delaware County's podcast. My name is Michael Hansen. I'm the lead pastor here at the church, and I am so glad that you have joined us for this week's message. I'm going to have a little bit more to say at the end, but for now, enjoy the teaching.
It's really good to be with you, and I am excited to start a new series today. And let me start by just, now I can hear myself. Yeah, there we go. Let me start just by asking a rhetorical question. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'm guessing if I went around the room and talked to each one of you, that a number of you would be able to say and answer this question. Yeah, I know that I need to get in more shape. I know that I need to get in a little bit better shape. And maybe for you, you would answer that because you've been to the doctor and they've just encouraged you. Yeah, you need to be a little bit more active and exercise a little bit more. Maybe for you, you recognize like I could lose a few pounds after eating those dozen Cadbury eggs last week. If you're going to do it, just go all the way, right? Just eat them all. Or whatever it is, maybe you just recognize that you need to be in a little bit better shape. And if that's you, you're not alone. You're not alone. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recommends that adults spend at least 150 minutes or over 20 minutes a day, 150 minutes a week or over 20 minutes a day, doing some moderate aerobic exercise like walking, and at least 2 days a week of some sort of muscle strengthening activity, but only 28% of Americans are doing that. Only 28%. So that means 72% or 3/4 of us could do a little bit better job of taking care of our bodies a little bit more. And that is important. Like the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And until we get new resurrected bodies, this is the one you got, right? So you gotta do the best you can to take care of it. But is getting into shape really just about taking care of our physical bodies? Is it really just about eating a few more carrots and a little bit less carrot cake? I think there's more to it than that. I think there's more to it than that. Part of it is embracing our unique and wonderful shape that God has made in each one of us. And when I say that, I'm not talking about our physical bodies. In this series today, we're starting today, we've entitled it Getting Into Shape, is really more about discovering our unique shape and purpose that God has made for us. Psalm 139 is a fairly familiar passage. If you've been in church for some time, you may have heard this passage before, but listen how the Message paraphrases it. It says this, "Oh yes, you," talking about God, "you shaped me first inside then out. You formed me in my mother's womb, and I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth, and all the stages of my life are spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one." Look at some of the language in that. God, you know me inside and out. You know exactly how you made me. God, you shaped me. You shaped me. And I don't believe this is just talking about our physical bodies, but I also believe that God really has shaped you and has a unique kingdom purpose for your life. He has prepared things for you to do way in advance before you were even born. One of our core values and part of our mission statement here at the Vineyard is that we want each person who's a part of this church family to connect with their purpose. We want you each to connect with your purpose, believing that God made you on purpose for a purpose. And I would define this idea of a kingdom purpose this way. One's kingdom purpose is their life's contribution expressed through their unique shape to serve others and share God's love in the world. See, God has made each one of you, with a unique lifelong contribution to make, that he has planned for you that nobody can make but you. Only you can do that. And God has planned for you to do it in your home and where you work and where you go to school and in your community and in part of this church. And so you need to understand that unique shape that God has made you for in order to do those things. And in this series, we'll be using a concept developed by Rick Warren, a former pastor of Saddleback Church out in California, and the book called Shape, if you want to throw that picture up there, Finding and Fulfilling Your Unique Purpose in Life by Eric Ries, who was a fellow pastor of Rick's. And if it might be helpful for you, I think it might be, we don't make a lot of book recommendations up here from the stage, but as I'm talking today, if you feel like this is something that, yeah, I really need to dive into this more, I would encourage you to maybe get that book on Amazon, or we probably have a copy or two on the book cart still out there, because there's no way we're going to completely cover everything in it. And it's almost more like a workbook where you can like write down specific things that you feel like God's showing you in it. But this idea of SHAPE is an acronym. SHAPE is an acronym. SHAPE means and stands for a unique combination of five different characteristics in your life. It stands for S, spiritual gifts. The combination of supernatural gifts the Holy Spirit gives each and every believer that you may not even be aware of that you have or have access to. H stands for heart, meaning our heart, our passions, like the things that make our hearts burn and inspire us, the topics or the causes or the people groups that we are drawn to. A stands for our abilities, like our natural skills, our natural talents that we're either born with or we've learned over time. P is for personality, our unique way of relating to other people or to situations, right? There's everybody has their own unique personality. There's no right or wrong personalities, but each personality is meant to express a part, a piece of who God is to the world. And finally, E stands for experiences. Experiences, both our positive experiences and our painful experiences in our lives that we go through, that God can use both of those for good. And we all have different experiences and unique ones. And so the combination of those five areas are help make up our shape. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be taking a look at each one of these in detail so that we can discover more of that unique shape to help us understand more of our unique kingdom purpose. But before we get into the real specific details and just start with S and jump right in, we have to first understand and believe this truth. And the truth is that we need to believe that we are uniquely and wonderfully shaped by God. Because if you don't believe that's true about you, if you think, well, that's for other people, but not for me, then everything we talk about from here on out is going to just kind of go by the wayside. You're not going to take it in and actually believe it's true. We first have to believe this truth deep in our souls. So, do you know what the Bible says about you? Do you know that the Bible says, in fact, that you are God's masterpiece? You are God's masterpiece. That's what the Bible says. It's actually the first point I want to make, that God looks at each one of you and he sees you as his work of art. Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Interestingly, other translations of Ephesians 2:10, instead of using masterpiece, sometimes they'll say workmanship or handiwork. But in Greek, the original word is poema, and it literally means work of art, that you are God's work of art. You are his masterpiece. And poema is where we get the English word poem from. But in Christ Jesus, you are unique, a one-of-a-kind work of art to God. Last year, Sarah and I, we took our kids up on a trip up to Cleveland, just kind of to do some, like a day trip for some different activities. And even though I've been a longtime fan of the Cleveland Browns, I've spent very, very little time actually in Cleveland. We don't have any family from the area. And so I didn't really kind of know what should we do? What should we go? And, but I knew Jonathan, our worship pastor, was from the area, and I trust Jonathan. So I said, Jonathan, hey, What are some activities we can't miss when we go to Cleveland? What are some things we should do? And he said, oh, you have to go to the art museum, the Cleveland Art Museum. You have to go. And I kind of thought to myself, I'm not really an art guy. Like, I don't know that I'll really enjoy that. And he said, but hey, it's totally free. And I thought, well, my family thinks I'm super stingy. So let's go. So we went, and I didn't know this. Maybe, but the Cleveland Art Museum, at one point, it still might be, but But it was ranked number two of all art museums in the entire country, second only to the museum, Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And I was, when we got there, I got to be honest, I was super impressed. Because I'm not an art guy. So I thought, I'm not going to recognize any of this art. I'm not going to know who any of these artists are or know anything about them. But when we got there, we walked into the one exhibit and I thought, oh, I remember that artist from like grade school. That's a Salvador Dali, that guy with all his dreamy drip paintings and kind of weird stuff, right? And then we walk around the corner and there's a Jackson Pollock. And then there's a Monet. And then there's a couple number of Picassos and a Van Gogh and this massive Warhol painting of Marilyn Monroe. And I was so impressed by this collection that they had. After visiting there, I thought, I think I'm an art guy now. Like, I really like this. I never before had I ever really cared that much. But to actually see it in person, to stand there and look at it up close, to see each little detail, and then to look at how every painting was so different. The styles and the colors and the strokes and the way they painted it were so unique in every different way. And yet each of them was a masterpiece. Each of them was carefully and wonderfully made by their creators. And that's how God sees you. That's how he sees each one of us. We are each his unique masterpiece, carefully and wonderfully made. None of us are copies of one another. And we are all priceless in his mind, one of a kind. Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, said this, "Only you can be you. God designed each one of us so there would be no duplication in the world. No one has the exact mix of factors that make you unique. God has painted us each with a unique set of colors, and he has made you with a unique shape in mind that perfectly fits his unique kingdom purpose for you." But I think all too often, we don't really take the time to explore this with God. We don't really take the time to dive deep into thinking about these things. Oftentimes we just kind of settle for what's right in front of us. Or maybe we just kind of like push it off and say, well, my shape is just, you know, that's my career. That's my job, right? Or that's this role I have. And that's part of it. That's connected with it. But that's not entirely our purpose. It can't be. It can't be. Because what happens when we retire then? Do we not have a purpose anymore? Right? Or what happens when that role changes or that role comes to an end? These things in and of themselves cannot be our purpose. They might be part of the canvas that God is painting our colors on, but we cannot define our purpose in and of themselves through just our career or a certain role that we have. Take, for example, Jesus. He's always the best example. But take for example, Jesus. And Mark 6, verse 3, we know that Jesus was a carpenter, it tells us. That was his job. That was his career. And the Greek word there is this word tekton. And interestingly, I've always thought of Jesus as, when I've heard that about him being a carpenter, is more like a furniture maker or like a cabinet maker, something like that. But the word tekton is more of like a builder. That Jesus was probably more of like a home builder. In the early first century Middle East, most people couldn't afford a lot of furniture. They didn't have a lot of furniture in their house. But everybody had doors. Everybody had window frames. Everybody had roof trusses. So it's likely more that Jesus was more of a builder. But also we know that Jesus was a rabbi, right? He was a teacher. And part of that early first century expectation was that all rabbis had to earn their own keep. That there was the expectation that they would have a trade that they would make a living off of, that they wouldn't take money for their religious services. And so it's possible that during the 3 years of Jesus' ministry and his teaching and healing and performing miracles, that he may have still been working from time to time in his career. And yet we never think about that. We rarely talk about Jesus being a carpenter even before that. And we never equate Jesus' career with his purpose. That never comes up. His purpose was to build something, but it wasn't necessarily buildings. His purpose was to build the foundation of the kingdom of God. His purpose was what we celebrated last weekend with Good Friday and Easter, right? To make a way, through his death and resurrection for everyone who believes in him to come into to right relationship with God. That was his purpose. In Jesus' case, his purpose actually had probably little to do with his career. Later in the New Testament, you know, the famous Apostle Paul also, we know he continued to work as a tent maker at times while on his missionary journeys, but that was not his purpose. His purpose was to share the good news of Jesus with the world. Right? His purpose was to plant churches around the world. And so for you, your career, that might be one of the places that your purpose is expressed. It might be part of the canvas that God paints your unique combination of colors on, but it's not the colors in and of themselves. Or maybe for you, maybe you're a stay-at-home parent. Maybe for you, that's kind of the primary role you have right now. But when your kids grow up, will you no longer have a purpose then? Well, no, of course you will. Of course you will. God may use your colors to paint on a different part of the canvas, but he still has plans and purposes for you. So whether you are young and still in school, whether you're older and retired, or whether you're somewhere in the middle stages of life, God has a kingdom purpose for you right now. And it's bigger than just your career or just your role. And God wants to teach you to know it and how to use that unique shape wherever he's put you at. So how do we know? How do we know if we are already doing that or not doing that? How do we know if we're in shape, you know, and using all of our colors and doing these good works that God has planned for us long ago, or are we in fact out of shape? Are we living in a way that doesn't really align with our spiritual gifts or our heart and our passions, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences? You know, this past year, I turned 40. And for the first time in my life, I began to realize I feel a lot more tired. And I feel sore. And I just realized that I have pains in my body that I don't ever remember starting to have. And I just realized I'm not 25 anymore and can't just go, right? Without ever resting. And I realized I hadn't been to the doctor in years, really. Like I hadn't gone for like a physical or a checkup in years. I'd gone if I was like sick to like urgent care and needed like antibiotics or something like that. But I hadn't gone to the doctor in years. I never had my cholesterol checked ever. I had no idea what my blood pressure was at. Like those kinds of things. I'd never had those things checked. And I had just a sense from God like, hey, it's time to go. It's time to do that now that you're 40. You need to like start tracking that stuff. You need to do that. I remember I shared that with some people and they said, Andrew, what are you worried about? Like, you're a stick. Like, you're in great shape, right? But the outside isn't always an indication of what's going on the inside, is it? It's not. You know, when I look at older photos of my grandfather, when he was like younger and in the Navy, I am built just like him. Like tall and weigh just enough to be blown over in the wind. Seems like genetically I'm on the same track as him. But tomorrow, I know a lot of people are excited about what's going to happen tomorrow with this solar eclipse. But tomorrow also happens to be the anniversary of my grandfather's passing. He died 25 years ago, pretty unexpectedly, at a fairly young age because he had an undiscovered heart condition that most of his whole life on the outside, he looked lean and active. But on the inside, he was in fact fairly out of shape. And so last year when I turned 40, I went to the doctor just to get some of that like baseline data, right? To know where my health's at so that over the next couple of years, I can keep monitoring that with my doctor to make sure I'm both in shape on the inside and the outside. And if you've been to the doctor lately, you know, they may do some blood work and tests like that, but they also ask you a million questions, don't they? They ask you a lot of questions, like you got to fill out those questionnaires where they say, well, how often do you exercise and how many hours of sleep do you typically get and do you struggle with this or do you struggle with that? And so right now, I want to ask you three questions. I want to be like a spiritual doctor. Okay, I want to ask you three questions and I would encourage you to write these down, jot a note of these on your phone, take a picture of these as they come up on the screen and be thinking and praying about these throughout this week, because I think these three questions will really help us assess how in shape or out of shape we actually are when it comes to fulfilling our kingdom purpose. So here we go. Dr. Andrew in the house. You ready? Okay. Signs of being in shape or out of shape. Number one, do you have focus or frustration in your mind? Do you have focus or frustration in your mind? When it comes to the collective activities that make up your typical day, you know, when you think about a regular day, do you have a focused sense that you know what you are made for in your mind? And is that aligned to how you spend your time? Because nobody can do it all. You know, nobody can, you know, say yes to everything and get everything done, or definitely at least not do it well. There's a lot of things I don't do well. But do you have a confidence in who you are and who you are not? So that you know what God wants you to say yes to and what you can say no to. Or is there a constant frustration in your mind? Are you trying to do things that because you wish you were good at them or gifted at, or you wish you were wired for them because maybe they're trendy or you think they will make you happy? It is the big lie in America that we have bought into for years that you can be anything you want to be. That's not true. You can't. But you can be who God made you to be. That is true. You can be who God made you to be. When we begin to understand who God made us to be and who he didn't make us to be, then I have more focus in my mind and less frustration. Last week, I probably had the best conversation with my 10-year-old son I've ever had. I took a few days off last week because my kids were on spring break and my wife Sarah kind of had to work most of the week, and my older teenager kids, you know, they thought they were going to die if they had to get up in the a.m., right? Like that's like a terrible thing or something like that. So in the morning, I was kind of just me and my 10-year-old son a lot. We had a lot of little good times together. And one morning I said to him, hey, do you want to go on a walk with me? And I thought, he's going to think this is so boring. I don't want to do that. And he said, yeah, let's do it. So we went to Sharmar Park, just a few miles down from our house. And as we were walking, we just got talking, and he brought up just some stuff that's been weighing him down. He brought up that over the last few months, he had been thinking a lot about his future. He had been thinking a lot about growing up. He had been thinking a lot about his purpose, like what God maybe made him for. And he said that he just shared how frustrated he had been because he looks at some of his friends and he said, well, so-and-so is really good at football and so-and-so is really good at video games. You know, the things that 10-year-olds think are really important. And in the conversation, you know, because he just said, I just don't really know what I'm good at or what I'm gifted at. But I just got to encourage him to say, son, hey, you know, like what I see in you is you're really good at this and that, and you're really good with people, you're really good with numbers. And as the conversation went, I could just tell there was this weight lifted off of him, this weight of frustration in his mind lifted off of him. And he said to me afterwards, he said, Dad, this conversation was so helpful. Like I feel so much better. I feel like as I keep growing up, I know that God's gonna continue to show me what he's made me for. And I just thought to myself, am I talking to my 10-year-old kid or like a 40-year-old friend right now? This is like so deep, so deep. But it was so impressive to me, and I could just tell he left feeling like with a sense of more focus and less frustration in his mind. Do you have that? Do you have that? If not, my hope, our hope is that in this series, it will help bring more focus, clarity in your mind for who God made you to be. So that's the first question. Is there focus or frustration in your mind? Second question is, do you have fulfillment or fatigue in your heart? Do you have fulfillment or fatigue in your heart? And all that you do, in those things that you say yes to in your daily life, do you generally experience a sense of fulfillment in your heart, or are you constantly emotionally, mentally, and spiritually fatigued and drained? And I'm not talking about the good sense of being tired, like the good kind of tired. Like, there is a good kind of tired, the kind of tired at the end of a long day where you know you've been doing what God has called you to do, and even though you're exhausted, you lay your head down at night and you feel peace about the day. You feel joy about the day. You look back and you think, I really think I served God and others well today. Right? That's the good kind of tired. But then there's this kind of fatigue that is deeper than just sleepiness and sore muscles, right? It's a weariness that God doesn't want you to have. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, right? That doesn't mean that if you follow Jesus, we're just gonna lay around and sleep all the time, right? No, it means that God actually has work for us to do. He has work for us to do, but it's gonna be fulfilling work. It's gonna be work that energizes you and gives you life, not sucks it from you. A couple weeks ago, I was talking with Jim in our church. Jim and his wife, Shalon, they have helped volunteers and oversee our food pantry for years, which meets two times a month, first and third Monday nights. And on one of these nights, they were setting up and getting ready in the afternoon, and I was talking to Jim, and he just shared with me that over the years, he still loves helping with the food pantry. He still loves it. That even when it's hard, even when it's been a long day at work, or even when he doesn't feel initially like being there that day, when he gets around the guests, when he sees the practical needs he's helping facilitate to meet, when he sees them interacting with each other and the joy of being there with them, he just says it gives him such great life. That he said, I regularly ask myself, is this still giving me life? Is there still a sense of fulfillment that I feel? And he said, yes, absolutely there is. And so I'm going to keep doing this for as long as God tells me to. And the way he said it with such joy in his face. Such joy in his face. And I thought to myself, here's a guy who's in shape. He's in shape when it comes to being in tune with his kingdom purpose. So do you have a sense of fulfillment in your heart, or is it just fatigue all the time? That's the second question. That's the second question. And finally, the third and last question that Dr. Andrew wants to ask you is this. Three, do you see fruitfulness or fruitlessness in your life? Do you see fruitfulness or fruitlessness in your life? John 15:5, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we are connected to Jesus in the right spot and in the right way that we were made for, the natural result of that is that we will see fruit over time. We don't have to force it. It just naturally comes. There's a gentleman in our church named Terry. Terry spent his whole career as a doctor, unlike me who just plays one on stage. He spent his whole career as a physician, caring for patients, even making house calls in his earlier years. And now in retirement, Terry is really trying to ask God, well, what now, God? I had a sense of my purpose in my career. I saw that as part of the canvas that you were using me, painting me on. But now, what's now my purpose? How do you want me to express that now? And in retirement, Terry doesn't care for patients anymore, but he cares for students. Just about every other week, he's one of our volunteers who teaches our middle school class at the 11 a.m. service and spends that time with our middle schoolers. And Terry doesn't make house calls anymore, but every week he calls the church of the week and talks to the pastor or somebody on staff to ask them, what are the specific things we as a church can be praying for? He volunteers and does that every week. And I'm sure that Terry did have a very fruitful career as a doctor, but I think there's so much more fruit in his life that is just starting to ripen now as he continues to pursue and dive deep into his purpose. As a branch connected to the vine, do you see fruit in your life? Or are your efforts seemingly fruitless? Are you dried up? Are you withered? Do you have a focus in your mind and a sense of fulfillment in your heart? And if so, great, great. Then you're probably in better shape than you realize. And my hope and prayer is through this series that you will continue to grow in that. You will have some new language to talk about that and to continue to live your life with God's kingdom purpose in mind. But if you feel frustrated, if you feel frustrated in your mind, if you feel fatigued in your heart, or if you see a lack of fruit in your life, then you've probably been feeling a little bit out of shape for some time, whether you've acknowledged it or not. And so through the rest of this series, as we talk about things like our spiritual gifts, our heart, our passions, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences, I do believe God is going to come close to you and help you discover more of your unique and wonderful shape that he's made you for. You know, the colors that he wants to paint you with. And I believe he's going to help move you into a direction of experiencing more and more of the vibrant, abundant life that he has for you. Because that's what it says in John 10:10. That's what one of Jesus' primary purposes is. He says this, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And because that's what Jesus wants for you, that's what his kingdom purpose is, that we might have life and have it to the fullest. Amen? Amen. Okay, why don't we stand?
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope that what you heard has encouraged you in your walk with Jesus. For more information and to contact us, go to vcdc.org. We'll bless you. Have a wonderful week.